So yesterday we turned to Proverbs 3, and I'd never read the verse. Proverbs 3, 3 through 5. So Steve read it for me this morning. And the reason why is because the very first word in verse 3 says, or verse 5 says, trust. And then I got off on, you know, I've discovered that the main thing that's lacking in people's lives around the world is trust in God. Really, when you boil it down, all their problems are based on trust. And I went on something else. So anyway, Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Why does the Bible tell us this? Because it's so easy to lean unto our own understanding, isn't it? Well, this doesn't make sense. Therefore, it can't be God. And so we're going to be talking about these things during this course, that sometimes God shows us things that do not make sense to our natural understanding, because that will help us to learn how to trust in God no matter what He's telling us. Because when we trust in God on the things that don't make sense, and all of a sudden we recognize that God knew what He was telling. How many of you has dawned on you that God knows what He's doing? Amen. But the way that we hold on, it seems like we don't really believe that sometimes. Isn't that true? God knows best. So why do we struggle so much doing and following the simple instructions sometimes? Simply because lack of trust. We've been burned by people. So what if? How many of you have ever had God tell you to do something and then fear comes in, right? What I've discovered is that God, I want you to write this down. This is powerful. God spoke this to me when I was battling fear. How many of you have discovered when you're reading the Word that God, in many times, when He was talking to His people and telling them to do something, He always added, fear not. Why did God say that? Was He wasting His time? It was because they had fear. When it looked like the vision that God told Abraham to do, remember we saw yesterday how God told Abraham to go out to a land that I shall show you, and Abraham went out not knowing where he was going, right? In Genesis chapter 15, God tells Abraham, fear not, Abraham. Why? The thing that God told him didn't seem like it was coming to pass. And God said, I am your exceeding great reward. I, not my stuff, not Isaac, not even the land that I shall show you, not even the sand of your people being like the as numerous as the sand of the sea and as the stars of heaven. That's not your reward, Abraham. I am your reward. Amen. You know, people can take away your house. They can take away lots of stuff, but they can't take away God. If you have a relationship with God, nobody can touch that. Nobody. So it says, lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. What is another way of saying direct your path? Guide your steps. Another way to say it, over in Psalm chapter 37, it says it this way. Psalm chapter 37, verse 5, it says, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Kind of sounds similar, doesn't it? Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall what? Bring it to pass. What is it? Whatever it is, He spoke to you. Amen. If God spoke it to you, that means He is going to do it through you. It's not up to us. Amen. And so we're talking about vision. We, on our very first time together, when I didn't know, I thought that was the only time I had, we talked about Proverbs 29:18, and we talked about how it's important that believers get a vision in their lives, and not just a vision, any type of thing, but to actually receive from God the plans that He has for us. We looked at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. It says that, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works which He prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God already knows what He desires for your life. It may be a mystery to you, but it's not a mystery to God. That's why the Bible says, and Steve quoted this morning, in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, that without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that believes, or must know that God is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope, or to give you an expected end. Right? And the very next verse says, and you will call upon me, and I will answer you, right? And you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. And in context, it's talking about the plans that He has for us. If we don't know the plans that He has for us, it just demonstrates that we're not really seeking God with our whole heart. Now, like I said, it comes in stages. We can have an idea of where God's leading us. We don't always have the absolute firm, clear picture. But we know the steps that God's taken, that God's asking us to take. How many of you know that God told you to take the step to come to CBC? It was clear, wasn't it? As clear as it needed to be. You took it. Guess what? How many of you have had God give you the next step? Maybe he has. Maybe he hasn't. But what, guess what? You heard him before. You'll hear him again. What the devil wants to do is to instill fear in your heart. And I told you to write something down. I never told you what to write down. I always get back around to it. Fear. Now, we read that one now. But fear. I said, write this down. Fear. How many of you have ever had fear? And then I got on the fear not thing. God spoke this to me when God was telling me and showing me he wanted me to go to Russia the very first time. I was absolutely terrified, petrified, scared. Who am I? Who do I think I am to think that I can go and direct a Bible school? Who, oh my Lord, it's in a different country. Those people, the Russians, they were our enemies. They all have guns. They all have, you know, Kalashnikov rifles, and they have their machine guns. What is that? What is the name of that? Their weapon again? I can't remember now. AK-47, Kalashnikov, yeah, AK-47, that's his name. Anatoly Kalashnikov, number 47. History Channel, that's right. No, I actually lived there too. I actually saw those before. I've seen guys armed, but I've seen guys armed here too. And so I had all these ideas of what was going to happen when I got there. How am I going to live? Where am I going to live? How am I going to feed my family? Where am I going to get food? All these things that go through your brain. And God spoke to me and he said, Sean, I never use fear to direct you. Write that down. God never uses fear to direct his people. Fear is not in his repertoire. Fear is not in his quiver. It's not one of his arrows. Okay? If you're battling fear about a direction to take, it's not from God. It's either yes with God or no, but not fear. God is not going to waste his time. He's not going to say, oh my Lord, what are you going to do if you obey me and I don't come through? You're putting me under pressure here. You're actually going to do what I told you? What if I don't come through? But isn't that the thoughts that sometimes come through our head? What if I step out and fall flat on my face? That's not God. If God doesn't want you to go there, he'll just say, no, that's not the place I have for you. How many of you have traveled and visited different churches and knew that wasn't the church that God had for you? It wasn't, oh my Lord, what if I get here and the pastor abuses me? It was just, you knew, this is not the place. It's not my family. It's not my church family where God wants me to be built up and to be able to also share and minister to other people. You know, Lisa and I, before we came back to Colorado, we did not know which church we were going to attend. We had attended a different church, I'm not going to name the name, because why we don't attend there again is not for any reason other than we felt like we weren't supposed to. There's no other reason. Not because we know some secrets about the pastor, nothing like that. So I'm not going to say anything because people's wheels start turning. You know what I'm talking about? So anyway, we thought we were going to visit many different churches and find out which one God showed us. But guess what? The very first one we went to, God showed us. This is it. Harris Christian Center. And you know what? God, I had no plans. I had no idea. This was not in my motives. This was not my ulterior motive because I kind of know Pastor Lawson and he'll probably let me do some stuff. Hadn't happened at all. But, you know, I've been able to minister to people in the church. And I have not asked Pastor Lawson one time. He comes up to me and says, Sean, I want you to take up the offer. Can you do that? Yeah, I can do that. Can you minister on Wednesday night in a little bit? Yeah, I can do that. Whatever he asks me to do, I say okay, because I know that God's put me there. See, where God has you, he knows where your giftings can be used. How many of you have ever been in a place where the people refused for you to use your giftings? Guess what? You probably don't belong there. Oh, but God, I've been going to this Presbyterian church forever, and I'm going to change this. No, you're not. You're more than likely not going to change that place. Amen? You need to be where God is putting you. So in Proverbs 29:18, it says, for where there's no revelation and where there's no vision, the people perish, or the people cast off restraint. You can write that down, Proverbs 29:18. Different versions say it differently, but I like that. Where there's no vision, the people perish. I think in the New King James it says, where there's no revelation. See, we're talking about prophetic revelation, revelation from above. In other words, insight from the spirit realm from God himself. Where there is no revelation or insight or vision from God in the lives of people, they will perish. How many of you know that before you got a revelation of Christ, you were perishing? Amen? But when you got that revelation of who Christ is, you got born again, right? And who gave you that revelation? God did. You didn't come up with it on your own. But I like that. Where there's no vision, or where there's no prophetic revelation or vision from above, revelation from above, the people perish, or the people cast off restraint. What does that mean? It means they're all over the place, scattered energies. How many of you have ever done so much you didn't really accomplish hardly anything? I mean, know what I'm talking about? You're everywhere. Monday night, kids' baseball. Tuesday night, choir practice. Wednesday night, your whole week is filled with all this stuff because you can't tell anybody no. You know why you can't tell anybody no? Because you don't exactly know that one thing God wants for you to do. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing stuff. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to talk about how sometimes we don't have it very clear in our mind, and the best thing for us to do is just to try our hand at different stuff. Amen. If your pastor says, hey, can you help in the nursery today? Do it. It's not a lifelong thing. It's today. You can help. Amen. But if he tells you, I want you to be the children's pastor, well, you need to make sure that's what God wants you to do. That's a little bit different story. But you can also help in that and find out whether or not you're called to it. You know, sometimes we don't have it really clear, but when we start doing something, all of a sudden we start to feel that energy, that anointing flowing out of us. Just to get a little ahead of myself, I may say it again, but to get a little ahead of myself, I've tried my hand at many things. You know what I know that I'm called to do? You probably already know. I'm called to teach. I get very worked up in a good sense when I'm teaching. If I'm tired before I start opening my mouth to teach and open this word, I am absolutely awake and energized when I'm done. That's a good sign. Over there in Romans chapter 8, let's turn there. Romans chapter 8. I've kind of gotten ahead of myself. That's probably in a future lesson. I just won't say it then. How about that? Or I'll say it again. Like I said, man, I hope I have enough time to do everything. You know, when I first preached my very first time, I was worried, how am I going to finish this one class? Now it's gotten to, how am I going to finish? Praise God. The very first time I ever taught, scared absolutely to death to use just a common, you know, I'm not talking about word of faith stuff. Oh, my God. I'm still alive. But I was absolutely terrified. I'm not going to lie to you, okay? You know what I heard Joyce Meyer say is something? You know, when God tells you to do something, do it afraid. Ooh. I guarantee you Gideon was scared until he saw, wow, God did do it. Hoo-ha. Now I'm ready. Oh, let's go. Think about it. They could have died, not just failed at a 50-minute teaching session. Died. You know, it's a little bit, you know. So I remember the first time I'm going to teach in Russia, I'm like, oh, my God, what am I doing? All those fears, devil, what are you doing here? Who do you think you are? You think of some big shot? You think of this? All those accusations. Accuser of the brethren, amen. Let me just say this. If you really thought you were a big shot, the devil would not accuse you. He'd love it. He would love that you think you're a big shot. He's not going to accuse you. Who do you think you are, a big shot? Maybe because it might bring you into condemnation or conviction. No, he'll leave you right along. Oh, you are good. Sometimes you need to listen to what the devil's saying and use it as a compliment. You know, one time the devil was scaring me to get off topic. We were praying over three specific needs. They all had different dollar amounts. It was specific. It was necessary. It was tuition. How many of you know that's necessary? One was Rachel being born. We didn't have the money for that. Guess where that's necessary? The other one was a very small amount. It was only $100. I had to pay for student, whatever that thing was, for graduation fees, because you know, now they make you pay it up front. They were learning back then, you know. Now it's up front. But I needed $100. I didn't have $100. So I'm praying for those three things, and all of a sudden, fear struck me. Have you ever been just minding your business, and all of a sudden, fear strikes you like someone hit you in the face? Guess what that is? It's the devil. So you know what I did? And I did not plan to do this. I thanked the devil. It just came out of my spirit. I didn't plan it. I'm praying. Me and Lisa are praying. We're agreeing. And all of a sudden, fear comes over me that we're going to fail. It's going to be turned out. I just thank you, devil, for encouraging me. If you giving me fear that it's not going to work out, that means it's going to work out because Jesus said you're the father of lies and there is no truth in you. You know what happened? That thing left as quick as it came. And guess what? That next day, someone said, you know what? God told me to give you $100. Now, the other things got handled later on, but not so soon. Why? I believe that the devil said, focus on those big amounts first. So that little amount kind of squeaked through real quick. I mean, I'm not trying to build doctrine or anything here, but you know, Daniel praying and that stuff. So, man, I got encouraged. And guess what? All of those needs were met exactly like what I prayed. So sometimes you need to let the devil's accusations and attacks be complimentary. Thank you, devil. You're saying, I'm not going to make it. It means I'm going to make it. You know, the devil talk about getting confused. He's the author of confusion. You talk about confusing that fella. Wait a minute. I came to discourage you, and now I've encouraged you. Oh, my, get out of here. Actually, it's happened twice in my life where I thanked the devil. And both times, the devil, I mean, the whole thing changed. Like, see, when his plans don't go the way he thought, he doesn't know what to do. To be the author of confusion, you have to be somewhat confused yourself. I'm not mocking the devil and saying he's, you know, this and that and the other. In our own strength, he eat our lunch and pop the bag, amen? But in God's strength, if he has a bag, we can eat it and pop his. Amen? So God does not use fear. The devil will use fear to get you discouraged, to get you to think you're on the wrong track. If you're on the wrong track, God will just tell you so. He's not going to beat you up, slam you to the ground, make you feel lower than scum. You understand what I'm saying? Amen. I said this before, but if you don't take the time it takes to receive God's direction and plan and vision for your life, there will be some other man that will give you his. And there's a time in this. I'm going to be talking about that today, hopefully. But there is a season when you help another man. So I'm not talking about that, okay? But if you don't take the time that it takes to get God's plan and purpose and vision for your life, there will be plenty of other people that will know how to utilize you to do what they want to do, okay? Now, there are steps to take in life, and there's nothing wrong with hooking up with someone else that has a vision. But you ought to have something in your heart. You know, if you're going to work for Andrew and help Andrew, it shouldn't just be that you're doing what Andrew wants. It ought to be that you are fulfilling the desire in your heart while you're helping him fulfill what's on his heart. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen? And there's temporary times. You know, God's training people. I know Mark, he's back there working, making tapes and helping correspondents, all that. He's probably more than likely not going to be doing that forever. Hopefully not. Amen. But for now, that's what God has him doing. For now, he has him in school. For now, he has you in school. When I was here, he had me at the Broadmoor working as a waiter, and I knew that God had me there, and I enjoyed being there. But guess what? There came a time when it was time to leave, and I no longer enjoyed it. It was now a struggle to show up every day because it was time to leave and go on the mission field. So I remember I was in Russia, and I was terrified to teach, and I get up there, and I do it anyway. It's always best to have a nice, solid pulpit that people can't see through when you're first starting out. Because you can grab on both sides and hang on for dear life. But next thing I knew, I didn't even get through my lesson, just like I do today. And it flowed, and I felt good. And so let's turn over to, you should be in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Now, of course, this is talking about also receiving our glorified body. But you know what else? It's also talking about we can receive that now. Amen. When we're doing what God's told us to do, while we're functioning in that, we ought to be feeling energized, not drained out while we're doing what God's telling us to do. If you're feeling drained while you're doing what you think is God, it might be a good indication it's not God. When I was down in Trinidad, we went down there for a while, and we did evangelism outreach, film outreach. We did. I was pastoring there. I was teaching all the time as well. We had a Thursday outreach where we were Lisa, you know, not me, but Lisa would cook food for like 100 people, and we also led praise and worship, and we started children's ministry there and Tuesday night prayer meeting. We started doing all these different types of things, and I was helping Lisa. During the praise and worship, on the praise and worship team, she was actually the leader. And let me just say this. If someone is the leader, let them be the leader. I didn't do so good at that. Because, see, I was her husband, you see. And I know I gave her a lot of fits. Because that's not the way I think, you know. And it wasn't my business. If she's the leader, she's the leader. Amen. Just a little note there. Just because you're her wife, or you're her husband, and she's your wife, doesn't mean, look, Lisa, you're my wife. I can say whatever I want to say. No, I can't if she's the leader. I mean, know what I'm talking about. I didn't respect her position that I kind of put her in to begin with. And that's kind of scary when a leader puts someone else in charge of something and then doesn't let them function. That's wrong. See, I made mistakes. I'm sharing it with you. But I knew that when I was helping her lead worship, I was behind the keyboard. I didn't play the keyboard now, but we had MIDI files, and I put it in there, and that system would play the files, and I'd, you know, I wouldn't act like I was playing. Everyone knew I wasn't playing it. But I would help Lisa on it, and I'd sing, and she'd sing, and we had some other people on the team. But after about the first or second minute of the first song, I was ready for that to be done. Okay? Now, I did it because we didn't have anyone else to do it, really. But I am not called to be a praise and worship leader. It's not because I'm the hideous singer. I wouldn't call myself a phenomenal singer. But nobody who came said, man, you are terrible. Actually, sometimes people gave me compliments. But it did not give me, I don't know how to explain it, but I was ready for it to be done, did not give me fulfillment. I did not have the release of the Spirit doing it. And I was ready for it to be done. And as soon as it was done, when I would enter into the time when it was time to share the message and pray and share the message and then pray for people, that is when I got energized. And so I always wondered, I wonder, for those who were called to be praise and worship leaders, I wondered, is it like the same for them when it's like when I preach? Do they get energized? So I asked the praise and worship leaders, I said, oh, yes. Yes, I love it. You see, when you're doing what God's told you, it is God doing it through you. It's not that you don't have your personality. You know, I doubt that God would say everything that I say. You know, he doesn't have all the experiences that I have. You know, God, it blesses God to flow through us. We still stay who we are, but we're working in partnership. How many of you know that it doesn't matter what I say if the Holy Spirit, it doesn't use it? It doesn't matter. I mean, it could be fancy. It could sound great. But if the Holy Spirit's not using it, it's going to accomplish nothing. The other day, I was flipping through the channel, and I flipped onto the Mormon channel. You know, they have one. And they were singing a very beautiful song, but there was no anointing. Nothing. Why? The Holy Spirit's not using it. Why? 2 Corinthians chapter 11. They believe in another Jesus. Read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, around verse 3 or 4 or 5, somewhere around there. Talks about believing in another Jesus whom we have not preached. You believe in another Jesus than the one that's actually in here, there's going to be nothing on your life. So God will empower us to do what he wants us to do. He will not empower us to do what we want to do. You're wasting your time. You're beating your head against a wall. The best thing to do when you're beating your head against a wall is just stop beating your head. The wall's not moving. If you find yourself, you just absolutely love children. You love going to orphanages. Man, it just energizes you. You just love ministering to those kids. Guess what? That's the love of God flowing through you. It's a good indication of what God's calling you to do. If you absolutely love administration, you want to work with a ministry, and you just absolutely love when you get projects and you can just administrate stuff and it's for the glory of God, guess what? That's God flowing through you in that way. How many of you remember reading in Romans chapter 12 and those different places that one of the gifts that God uses is administrations. Amen? God has anointed David Hardesty to do what he does. And God flows through him to do what he does. Amen? How many know that King David had to have some good men who knew how to do certain things? And you know, when you read the Old Testament, when you read when God was telling the different tribes to do different things and he was having the temple be built and he was having the different things that needed to be in the temple, such as the bowls and the all the different stuff that they had, it said, then God gave them the wisdom and the ability to make those things. I know one woman, she has no hands. You know what she does? She knits gloves and blankets to go to third world countries. How in the world can you do that with no hands? She does it. Guess what? She loves it. She's praying over that while she's doing it. Thank you for the person who's going to be warmed by this. That, Lord, if they don't know you, that, Lord, you're going to use this blanket and you're going to speak. Guess what? She's doing what God called her to do. Romans chapter 12 says we are many members, right? Of one body. We're one body, but we're many members. In other words, we all have a different calling, and God expects us. Let's turn over there real quick. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, or you could say the measure of faith. There is no articles in Greek. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to each of us. Did you notice it says according to the grace? In other words, you didn't earn it. So if you're called to be an apostle, how dare you think you're something special because it was God's grace that gives you the ability to do what you're called to do. Guess what? Apostle with his hands probably could not knit those blankets that woman has without hands, that God has given her the grace to be able to do that. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given each of us, let us use them. God expects us to use them. Amen. I think Happy Caldwell kind of touched on that a little bit, didn't he? If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. He who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We can go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 too, and it talks about all the different ones, administrations and all those types of things. I'm not going to go through that. What I'm trying to say is we all have a place in the body of Christ. But I'm just the pinky. You know what? Pinky is something that isn't noticed, but if it's gone, you sure feel it. Hello? You know, Steve Martin, I don't know if you noticed, but he's missing a part of one of his fingers. Say, oh, what's the big deal of that? I'll tell you what's a big deal. He can't tie his shoelaces. You hearing me? He has to wear non-lace-up shoes. Not even missing a finger, just this part. He doesn't have that top. And I've never thought about it before, but you do tie your feet, don't you? Tell you what, if you don't fulfill what God's called you to do, even if you think you're just a pinky, or not even a pinky, but just the top thing of the pinky, if you don't do it, something will be missing in the body of Christ. The problem is we look to those who we think have a great calling, and let me tell you something, there is no such thing as a great calling or a little calling. There's only a God calling, and if you're not doing a God calling, even if man calls it great, it's a failure. Think about if Andrew could be the president of the United States. Get on State of the Union. I'm blessed. You're all blessed. There is no recession. Guess what? He'd be failing because God hadn't called him to do that. Now, it might be kind of nice to see him there. You know, I had a whole speech prepared, but we're going to talk about eternal life. I tell you what's wrong with this country. You don't have your mind on God.
That's right.
And guess what? It would probably be good, but he'd be the first president impeached for doing nothing wrong. Amen. I wasn't even planning on talking about this today. What I'm trying to say is people feel guilty if they don't have, in their own opinion, something that sounds big, flamboyant, important. Notice what I said, in their own concept. Here it says, God sets the members, you can read it yourself later on, Romans chapter 12, as he sees fit, not as we see fit. You know what? I, and many times, would prefer something else. There are some people that are in this Bible school, they've kind of come around, but they would really rather be doing something else, but yet they know God has them here. Now, that's great, but it has to get to the point where you stop fighting God's plan if you don't like it. And we're not talking about cancer, you know, we're not talking about junk. Okay, you know the difference. You know, personally, I would prefer to be back on the mission field right now, but you know what? I know God has me here for now. So guess what? I don't argue with God. You might as well enjoy where you are, right? On the way to where you're going. How many of you heard that one before, right? Because if you don't enjoy where you are, you can miss what God intended for you to get. And if God has you here for a season, it's because he knows you need to be here for the season to get what you need to get so you can handle that season. So we need to receive God's plan for our life. God desires to give it to us, but he will not give it to us if he doesn't have our whole heart. Now, here's why. Some people don't like that. They think it's legalism. No, I'm not talking legalism. I'm not talking about salvation. Until we give up who we are, we can't receive what he has. As long as we're holding on to what we want, we can never get what he wants. And here's the reason why. Until we come to the end of ourselves, sort of like what Steve was saying, and I'm not talking about because things are so bad and, you know, you're dying and all that stuff. Hopefully it didn't get to the point. But until we say, Lord, not my will, but yours be done, whatever it is you want, for us to want God's vision is not for God, but for ourselves. How many understand what I'm talking about? We want it to sound like we got it all together in the eyes of others or to feel important. How many of you know we like to feel important? I like to feel important. I don't like when I go down the hall, people, you know, part and it's... And it's not out of respect. It's, oh, there he is. You know, I'd much rather that when I come here, people want to hear what I have to say than don't want to hear what I have to say. Just be honest. But until it no longer matters what people think and even what you yourself think, you know, the Apostle Paul over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I think it is chapter 4 or chapter 3, he says, it means nothing to me that you judge me. I don't even judge myself. Let's turn over there real quick. 1 Corinthians 4, let's look at verse 1. It says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, don't be confused what Happy was saying, Pastor Happy Caldwell was saying, about ownership and stewardship. You never will own anything as far as it's yours, yours. I want you to understand what I'm saying as a true Christian. I'm not talking about your house and your car. Now, you shouldn't even own your car. You know, how many times do we have an opportunity to pick up someone, but we don't want to be bothered with it? Or, sister, can we have a Bible study in your house? No. Why? This is my house, and I don't want anything to mess it up. See, you know, I'm talking about the difference. That kind of ownership is not the kind that God wants us to have. The ownership I believe that Happy Call was talking about was being responsible and doing what God said he wanted you to do. Taking steps and going for it, not just waiting for it. Que sera, sera. If God wants it to be, it'll be. No, it won't. So I think that's what he's talking about. Stewardship is recognizing. Now think about it this way. Someone who really owns something doesn't have to give an account for it. But we have to give an account, even for what God's given us. And it's not that God doesn't want us to enjoy things and have a house and have nice stuff, and we're not talking about that. But God expects us to use, remember we just read that in Romans chapter 12, use what he's given us. Yes, we own it, but we use it the way God wanted us to use it. I mean, how many can see the balance there and the understanding, right? So this is what Paul's talking about when he says, let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. How many of you know God wants us to be faithful? God is faithful. Amen. How many of you know that verse? Paul says that he thanked God who counted him faithful, putting him into the ministry. How many of you know that verse? I think it's over there in 1 Timothy. See if I find that real quick. I'll just read it for you. 1 Timothy 1:12 says, I thank Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me. There we are. Grace. Enabled me. Because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. God's looking for faithful people, those who will be responsible, those who will say, God, you've given me this, and I'm going to use it for your glory. It's like Andrew. He knows God's called him to do. Even if he's tired, he will do it anyway. I don't feel like teaching today on television. He does it anyway because God, he's going to be faithful with what God's given him. Okay, so we're back over in 1 Corinthians 4, and verse 2 says, moreover, it's required in the stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. There's lots of people who aren't going to agree with what God told you to do. There will be times when you may not even agree with everything. You know, when God sent us to Trinidad, there were times when, man, I'm not so sure I want to be here. But I know God has said I'm supposed to be here. So therefore, my opinion means nothing. How many know what I'm talking about? Verse 4, I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this. But he who judges me or justifies me is the Lord. Amen? Don't let people judge you based on what God's told you to do. There are many people who will not agree necessarily with what God's told you to do. It doesn't matter. As a steward, God wants you to do what he's told you. You don't give an account to your mom, your dad, your sister, your kids, your parents, your neighbors. We give an account to God and God alone. Amen? And when we give an account to God, I'm not going to be able to say, well, God, I didn't do what you told me to do because my mom cried and it broke my heart, so I had to stay until she died. Doesn't that sound like something one of those guys who wanted to follow Jesus said? Lord, let me go bury my father first and then I'll come and follow you. If his dad was already dead, what was he doing with Jesus? His dad wasn't dead yet. Think about it. If my dad died today, now I probably would be still teaching because today and then I'd go. But if my dad died today, I wouldn't be hanging around here for a while following Andrew around and he says, Sean, could you, well, let me go bury my father. No, I wouldn't even be there. What I believe is what was happening with that guy was, listen, my father will not agree with what I'm going to do besides I'm going to receive an inheritance, then I'll have the money I need to be able to follow you. So let me take care of that first and then follow you. Sort of like, you know what, God's telling me to do something now, but I only have 5 more years till retirement. I'm not knocking anybody. Listen, if God's told you to do it now, he didn't mean 5 years. Even though, don't lean into your own understanding. How many of you know that verse comes into play? But in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. He shall bring it to pass. I'm not knocking anybody who waits until they retire. You know, that's between you and God. If God's not told you anything, sometimes different people come to realizations at different parts in their life. But I knew one lady, she had 1 year left to retirement, and God told her to leave, and she left. You know what? That took a lot of trusting God. But Lord, it's only 1 year. Did God say, after 1 year? If he did say that, fine. Guess what? God can put that in there, can't he? Why do you think Jesus said, don't say there's 3 or 4 months and then the harvest? The harvest is now. See, those are all excuses that man makes to wait to do what God is saying to do. Now, if God's called you here to school, he's called you to finish. And probably he's called lots of you to also do the apprenticeship. So I'm not talking about going out. But when you know that God's telling you the timing is now, you don't have the option to postpone what God wants. Well, God, I tell you what, next year, and then next year will come, and guess what? There'll be some other reason why you can't do it, and it'll always be perpetually put off to next year. Amen? We have to obey God and obey every single step that God is giving us. Amen? And it's to accomplish what God's telling us to do is not according to our abilities, but according to the grace given to each one. How many know God has the power and the ability to do what he wants to get done? It's okay to doubt in yourself as long as you don't doubt God in you. It's a good thing to not rely on yourself. You know, there are times when man's like, man, I've taught this before. Piece of cake. Get up and as dry as corn shucks. Doesn't matter how many times you've taught it, how many times you've led worship, how many times you've done this, how many times you've done that. If you're not relying on the Lord's ability, it's not going to produce. Amen? See you tomorrow.